This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Anthony, you might have to pull that one from the rotation, because while we loved our time when Ben Stanek was basically a co-host of the show once a week, things have changed, luckily for all of us, for the better. There's plenty of magic being made by the team that we spend our time with now.
You're right. We might have to pull it.
Might have to. You know what we are going to do, though? We're going to talk to Ben Stanek.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
Ben Stanek, Commanders beat reporter for The Athletic, back from the NFL owners meetings. How are you, my friend?
Craig, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I'm not going to lie. I got used to 80 degrees for a couple of days. So, this is better than what it was a couple months ago here, but, you know, not 80 degrees.
No, I was definitely very not happy with the fact that it was like 40 degrees this morning, especially because I had to go help a friend of ours move some furniture this morning. That, you know, everyone's like, oh, you're so fit. And I'm like, yeah, it means you're the person that people call to help you move furniture. But no, I was happy to help move this thing. And I was going to bike over to their house. I walked outside and was like, looked at my wife. I was like, can you drop me off, because it's on the way to work, because it's too cold. So I'd imagine going from the 80 degrees, nicest hotel you'll go to all year for the owners meetings, back to whatever greeted you this morning outside your home was not very pleasant.
It was not. But I think more importantly, what friends do you have that are using you to move stuff? Don't people use movers anymore? What are we doing?
No, they have movers coming because they're in the process of selling their house, and they have to redo their stairs first. So it's like one of those situations, and it was just one dresser that needed to get moved down a couple flights, and we only took a small chunk out of their wall, so it was fine.
Fair enough.
You get what you pay for, and apparently my price should have gone down. Anyway, Ben, more importantly, you heard not only Dan Quinn, but Adam Peters speak the last couple of days. He was DQ, and there's definitely interesting stuff to get into substantively there. But I feel like that was the most relaxed and most verbose we've heard Adam Peters speak in his entire time as the GM of the Commanders. How do you feel like he's settling into his second offseason here, and what did you take away from Peters before we get to some of the things that Quinn said?
I mean, I think you're right on that. He in the midst of his conversation with us, he like just sort of made a random joke about something he had just said, and he put a reporter quasi on the spot about it. And just the fact that he was able to sort of make a joke in the middle of it, not that he was like the most stiff guy ever, but just like it was a sign of some relaxation. And yeah, I mean, I think that he, in some of his responses, gave, you know, some decent answers, you know, not a ton of specifics, but, you know, he didn't just simply brush everything off and say, well, we're not going to talk about that or what have you. So, yeah, I thought he was pretty good. I mean, I think that, you know, the Terry McLaurin stuff, you know, in terms of possibly getting an extension, again, not a real surprise, but, you know, he said, hey, yeah, we've had some dialogue, you know, not going to get into any of it and you know, preliminary things like that, but, you know, just simply acknowledging that's a thing. I mean, I believe I asked that at the combine and didn't really get anywhere. So, yeah, I think there's some stuff like that made some sense. He talked a bit about Javon Kinlaw and the choice there, and Debo as well. So, you know, I thought he was good. I mean, relatively speaking, you know, we can always get some more specifics out of them, but, yeah, I thought he was pretty good.
I will say, listening to him talk about Kinlaw, that is like one of the most animated I've ever heard him. He clearly loves Javon Kinlaw. How much do you think he's involved in whatever the plan for Kinlaw will be? Or is he just like, this dude's a rare piece of clay, DQ, I trust you to mold it?
Yeah, probably the latter. It does feel like, look, obviously as a general manager, you know, when it comes to making picks or signings, you know, the buck stops with him. But this one feels like the most sort of him going out on a limb to say, I got this, you know. Look, I mean, Javon Kinlaw, the guy he drafted in the first round back in 2020, he's a massive human being. You know, it wasn't a wrong pick at the time, but then Kinlaw suffered a significant knee injury in 2021. He basically missed 2 years of football. He has come back the last two seasons and played all 34 games he was able to, and he started all 17 last year for the Jets, but he hasn't, you know, still come close to reaching the heights that I think people thought were conceivable. And he's basically saying, Peters, that is saying, I think that's still in here. This is not a lost cause. He's still got a lot of the physical traits. He obviously knows the guy. So it does feel like this is the one where he is putting his neck out a bit more, because it was definitely, I think we all can agree, a bit of a surprise, a curious signing in terms of the years and the money for a guy that, you know, wasn't typically being viewed as a sought after free agent. And not that the 3 years, $45 million, 30 guaranteed is, you know, even if it doesn't work, it's not going to be some major blight on his resume. But at the same point, it was like the one, other than the two trades, it was the one free agent move that they went and did, you know, some real, you know, gave some real assets and a bit of a surprise. But he obviously sees the plan and, you know, he gets benefit of the doubt, right, for the most part at this stage, and we'll see what happens.
Ben Stanig with us from The Athletic here on The Hoffman Show. Of course, they're Commanders beat reporter. DQ talked a little bit more about some of the alignments that we've all been questioning. JP kind of did the same thing that I feel like my comments section is sometimes. Like, oh, where's this guy going to play? Where's Coleman going to play? And then is this guy going to slide here? How much do you think that they've really thought about that with this and are playing coy versus, no, they're really just going to try a bunch of stuff? Like, have you been able to gather any extra intel beyond the things that Quinn said directly yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think you always have to have a plan. You know, they emphasized competition last year. You know, one of the reasons they said why they didn't just tell us that Jaden Daniels was going to start all along was, you know, if you're going to just say he's the starter and you know, erase any notion of competition, even if it's minimal, then, you know, why aren't you doing that for all the other spots? So I do think they want to keep that up and have that be, you know, be a real thing. And in terms of the offensive line, you know, I mean, my view all along has been presumably they're going to put him at right tackle and that Coleman is going to be, you know, his job to lose or to win, however you want to kind of look at that. With Andrew Wiley, though, still there. I mean, Andrew Wiley's been the starter the last couple of years. So if Coleman, you know, has a tough off-season training camp, then, you know, they can go back to Wiley and it's not set in stone. But, you know, I'm sure they, you know, did all this with the belief that, hey, we believe Coleman could be a left tackle, therefore we believe he could be a tackle, so now we're going to put him on the right side. And, you know, I think this is a potentially seismic opportunity for them, because if he's able to, he was okay last year, but, you know, gave up a fair amount of sacks and pressures. And, you know, if he's able to secure the right tackle spot with Tunsil around for the next few years, I mean, this offensive line could really jump significantly from where it was, you know, in the last year under Ron Rivera. So I think it's a pretty significant move. But, you know, in general, I think with all these moves, they have to have some idea what the plan. Like, you know, same thing with cornerback, right? Quinn's saying Jonathan Jones, you know, they can play him inside or outside. And, you know, they're going to look at Sandersill sort of the same way. But it's hard to believe that you're not saying, okay, we believe that Sandersill is going to do X, and how do we complement that, you know? So I think they always have a plan, but, you know, they like options. And, you know, they're just not using the term position flex the way that somebody else may have. And I think from that, therefore, we're not getting beat over the head with a term, but they are kind of saying the same thing. We want to have guys that can do different things, but, you know, we have a plan as to what we think that's going to look like. But we're giving ourselves outs, and, you know, in terms of case injuries or just things don't work out.
Ben Stanig with us here on the Hoffman Show. Last thing for you, Ben, off the board from the owners' meetings. You are renowned, sir, for your correct mock drafting over the years. And so I want to quickly just ask you one thing about the mock that you did last week. You do have the Commanders trading back like many fans want, although it's not necessarily in the way that a lot of people think that'll go down. A lot of people are like, oh, they've, you know, some team will want a quarterback and want to trade up. And you actually have a team trading up way ahead of the Commanders, up to 24 to take Jackson Dart. Like, how realistic is, like, obviously the Commanders are going to want to trade down because they'd like to recoup the draft capital. And we all know that at that point in the draft, there's probably not a whole bunch of difference between the caliber of player you'll get at 29 versus the one that you'll get at 34, 35. So how many teams do you think are going to be looking to trade up, whether it's for quarterback or something else, that you feel like this is a plausible situation? And kind of is part B related of that question, like, how high do you think some of these like the Giants, et cetera, will think they have to go to ensure that they get the third quarterback off the board? And in other words, is Washington going to be too late for that in the first round?
Yeah, no, I think they definitely could be too late in the first round if we're just talking about a quarterback. I think a lot's going to depend on what happens with Shedeur Sanders. I mean, obviously he could go off the board at 2 or 3, but if he gets past the Browns and the Giants, then I don't know where he goes. I know a lot of people point to the Steelers at 21. For the moment, they don't even have, you know, much of a quarterback beyond Mason Rudolph. And even if they sign Aaron Rodgers, which is still the assumption, and, you know, he's obviously not a long-term plan. But, you know, we'll see. It feels to me like Pittsburgh, you know, is trying to be aggressive now. They didn't make that DK Metcalf trade for 3 years from now. So, you know, are they going to use a first-round pick? They don't have a second on a quarterback? I don't know. So if they don't, now all of a sudden, you know, Sanders and Dart are in there in the 20s, and things could get more interesting. But if Sanders is gone before Pittsburgh, then you've got to look at Pittsburgh at 21 as possibly being where you have to jump. So, yeah, it is possible that Washington's a little too far back. We'll see. But I think you can always look at some of the other premium positions. I think the one I had was, I think I had the Browns trading up. I think I forgot what happened yesterday, but I think I had the Browns trading up to get Ohio State offensive tackle Josh Simmons, who, you know, was probably viewed as like a higher first-round pick, but he had a knee injury last year. And, you know, like, if you're going to, you know, if your team like the Browns, you know, if you're going to, whether you take a quarterback at 2 or not, you know, you got to shore up the main positions. And, you know, that one, or it could be a pass rusher, you know, those are the type of spots that teams could still be interested in. There's a lot of teams in this draft that have 10 or more picks, the Browns being one of them. And if this draft is not considered to be, you know, particularly robust, and free agency wasn't either, it does kind of make some sense for teams to say, hey, we have all this draft capital. Rather than bring in 10, 11 guys, let's trade some of that, get the better players that we like, and go that way. So I think that's conceivable. And, you know, lastly, look, Adam Peters, like, you know, he's not great at, again, none of these guys are, about giving too many specifics, but he just said flat out, look, if I could trade down every year, I would. And I don't think that's just him being, like, flipping. I think that's the reality. So I think he's in. It's just a matter of,
right,
you know, does the board fall a certain way that, you know, they can take advantage of it?
100%. If every team wants to trade down, then it's kind of hard to trade down because then no one wants to trade up. So you got to have a willing partner, and it's got to work out for you on the value side of it. And that is the challenge of it all. And that's why Adam Peters, amongst other reasons, paid a whole lot of money. Ben Stanig, he gets paid not as much as Adam Peters, I presume. If you are, Ben, I need to come work for The Athletic. But you do great work for the money that you make over there at The Athletic, where Ben is, of course, writing on everything Commanders, also doing a ton of mock draft work. And Ben's super plugged in on the agent side of things, so it's always really interesting to read his perspective this time of year. Ben, appreciate your time here on the radio, my friend, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you here sooner rather than later with the draft around the corner.
Yeah, no, I appreciate your guys' patience for having me on, and yeah, look forward to talking again.
Sounds good. Ben Stanig, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, let's get you a little bit more from DQ at the Coach's Breakfast yesterday, and then coming up at 5:30, Ben's colleague, the great David Aldridge at The Athletic, wrote a really fascinating article about the current state of the NBA and why, while the players are more skilled and frankly better basketball players than ever, the game doesn't seem quite as healthy as you'd think that would mean. We'll dive into that at 5:30 here on the Team 980.